Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. Another week of no F1. So I actually have no idea what the hell has been going on this week. But
it's quite depressing, isn't it? Don't you think?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's like the off-season in football and stuff. Another football reference. But
it's not a football podcast.
It is. Like, I miss it when it's not on. So I think, have we still got like another 2 weeks until we're back?
Not this weekend, the weekend after, yeah.
Okay. Well, just a little update for you guys. We won't be here next week. Am I right in saying
that? You made that decision already, have you?
Yeah, next week. You're going away. The only day you can record on is Sunday. I can't do that. Therefore, it's my fault, apparently.
Yeah. It wouldn't be my fault, would it?
Where are you going?
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Perfect. Very good.
But if you are new here, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. It really does make a big difference. And if you want to get involved, because we are actually becoming proper consistent, social media, search Racecast, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, we are there. I actually think, did you post like a couple of shorts? You posted them as videos on YouTube.
Because the shorts have to be a minute long.
So what were these?
Like 1 minute, 10 seconds or whatever.
Oh, as in anything longer?
Anything longer goes as a video. Yeah,
so like to call you
I thought I'd try it. Apparently, yeah, shorts is anything on YouTube, a minute and less.
Interesting, but yeah, make sure you check us out everywhere. Don't check us out on YouTube because it's really just not worth your time. But do check us out elsewhere because we are good guys.
We're good guys.
But apparently, Matt has a lot to fill us in on about the F1 world. So dial in because we're about to blow your mind.
I do, yeah. I do actually have a lot of news. And literally, this one has literally just come in.
Okay, not if you're listening now. You probably would have already heard about it.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to give you our thoughts on it.
Verstappen calls for schedule change. So, Max Verstappen has urged Formula One to consider changing the schedule to help reduce the amount of travel and the effect change in time zones on drivers.
Not about the climate.
Not about the climate. Just with the amount
his own personal well-being.
There are 24 races this season, more than ever, but Verstappen has doubled down on his view that the calendar needs retooling. I've always said it's quite a lot of races that we have in the calendar, Verstappen said, but I think for me it's more just travelling with the time zone differences. Between Vegas and Qatar, you're flying almost to the other side of the world again, which I think we can do a little bit of a better job if we do triple headers. That they are a bit closer together, for me it would just make a bit more sense. So that's probably something that they'll have to look at. If we're going to do so many races, at least it makes sure they're closer together. And we've discussed this in the past, that actually some of the schedule doesn't make sense because they're coming back to Europe, then they're heading all the way back again, and then they're back again,
and all this like net zero carbon neutral bollocks that they bang on about, yet they fly around the world like here, there and everywhere. It's not like they've made it a little bit more sensible this year, I think, but this is the first year they've ever actually attempted to make it a bit more sensible, but it still doesn't make complete sense. I mean, surely if you're trying to be carbon friendly and help the planet, you would actually just do all the regions one by one. Oh, we're doing like Australasia, Asia, Middle East, Europe, South America, America, you know, and then okay, if you want to come back and end in Abu Dhabi for like one race or whatever, that's fine, but it doesn't make sense. And we have all this like shit like preached to us, and then moving to synthetic fuels and everything, and we obviously lost our beloved V8s in 2014.
You're not over that, are you?
Well, because I just think it's bollocks. I mean, like, look, you go there and it does sound like shit now. Like, you can confirm it sounds like shit if you've been there. And I just think, well, that was a big part of the sport, really. So, yeah, I'm not over it. And I think it gets frustrating from a fan's perspective that they push all this carbon neutral bollocks on you, and then they fly, like, here, there and everywhere around the world. So I back Verstappen's point. What I will say is 24 races across a year is not a lot. And I mean that in like, as having singular races, 24 races is not a lot. But the schedule that those drivers have to go through, it is a lot. You know, if it was 24 races all in Europe, that's a lot more easy. Yeah. But it must be tasking going all around the world, different time zones. It's a lot of flying.
I get what he means, and I think it's something which they will need to have a look at. But yeah, 24 races. I love that, the fact that there's more races in the sport.
Yeah, and it's great. And more triple headers, fine, but then the breaks are a little bit upsetting. Mm-hmm. But I think you could just have a much more sensible schedule. And surely that ties in with everything. I've said it before. Give us a more sensible schedule, bring back the V8s. Especially 2026, when we get the new engines, they're moving to like fully synthetic fuels.
Yeah.
Why can't we have V8s then?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
You do need to get over it, though. Quick question. New watch?
Yeah.
What is that? It looks well chunky.
Apple Watch Ultra 2.
Ah. I've got the Garmin.
Oh, yeah, yours is a little. This has got a little case on.
Oh, is that what it is? I was going to say that looks chunky as anything.
I mean, it's a pretty chunky watch anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway.
And workouts and
what's that?
So I can track my runs and workouts. Yeah. And
that's why I got that instead. I kept that Whoop. It was being rubbish in the winter.
Why?
Because it doesn't, you keep having to have your phone out, checking what your time, what your pace is and everything. Whereas this, I can just actually control my pace.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that is what I said to you.
Yeah, no. And that's why I listened. Mm. That's why I listened and I got rid of the Whoop.
So you should always listen to me.
I wouldn't say always, just on this occasion. Carlos Sainz, as we know, joined Williams.
Well, is joining Williams.
Well, is joining Williams, yes, anyway. Well, Carlos Sainz's father was spoken to about...
Carlos Sainz Sr.
Sr. was spoken to about why he decided to snub Audi and go for Williams.
What, was he offered a seat as well?
He was offered a seat, yeah. He's talking about Carlos Sainz Sr. Junior.
Senior?
Oh, you're confused me. Can I redo that? Because you've absolutely...
Oh,
I screwed that for me, okay?
I fucked it up.
Carlos Sainz's dad was spoken to about why Carlos Sainz decided to join Williams instead of Audi. A lot of it comes down to the fact that he's excited about the project which is going on at Williams. What James Vowles is doing there, they're linking up with alongside Alex Albon, and he feels like they're on a much better progression than what Audi are going to do when they come into the sport.
Well, yeah, I mean, one's a complete roll of the dice and the other is kind of a calculated guess. You know, you can look at the progression that Williams have made since James Vowles has come in.
Yeah.
Or you can look at where Sauber are right now and pray that Audi are going to come into the sport and just randomly do really well. And I think I actually did read something about Mattia Binotto saying that Audi are behind on engine development. Have I just ruined another?
Yeah, that is true.
but that ties into the Carlos Sainz thing. So he would have heard as well. Do you know what I mean? Like the F1 network. It's the same as any like space that you're in. You know, like rugby people know rugby people. Boxing people know boxing people. F1 people know F1 people. Mm. So people talk. It does happen. And they will know.
But obviously, you know, Williams, Mercedes engine, they do look good. Apparently, yeah. They're looking the best for the 2026 season.
Yeah.
As you did say, it does look like, you know, Audi are currently at a disadvantage going into the 2026 season. So I can potentially understand why Carlos Sainz was like, actually, yeah, like you say, calculated guess. Was it worth going there? Whereas actually you're looking at Williams... You can pick up points week in, week out. You know, Albon is showing that. You know, Colapinto going there now is showing that. James Vowles is leading that team in the right direction. They're starting to get back to, you know, the old days where they're, you know, starting to see, you know, Williams up there now, which is great. I'm really excited about Williams going forward. I've always said on this podcast that James Vowles, for me, is doing everything right. He is leading that team in the right direction. He's not afraid to make the tough decisions. And he's making smart decisions. That whole knowledge which he has from his old Mercedes days is really starting to pay off. And getting someone like Carlos Sainz, you know, if you're Carlos Sainz, you're not stupid, are you? You don't just go there and just go, oh yeah, I'll get a nice little pay packet. I see, you know, be at the back. He's going there because he has seen the vision of what James Vowles wants. and he's obviously going in the right direction.
Yeah, he definitely thinks that he's young. He's not going to go somewhere to just see off his career at this point. And I think we said when he took the gig, he made the right choice. And I think the only way it would be a bad choice is if Mercedes came knocking for him.
Yeah.
But they didn't. No. So...
No, I'm excited about it. I really am excited about, you know, the prospect of Williams. And it's interesting because James Vowles has also come out and he said he believes they have the best pairing in 2025 on the grid. And I'm interested about what you think of this one, because I think it's bullshit. Okay. I have to admit, I think it's a very good lineup. Do I think it's the strongest one on the grid? No, but I think it's a very, very strong lineup.
It's nowhere near the strongest lineup.
No, I'm not saying it's the strongest, but I think it's a stronger lineup than Williams have had for a long time.
Well, yes, obviously. Well, they had Logan Sargeant, and then before that they had Nicholas Latifi.
Yeah, so it's the strongest lineup.
So, I mean, yeah, it might be their strongest lineup. That he thinks they have the strongest lineup on the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just cracked. I mean, Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Having Max Verstappen as just one of your drivers speaks for itself. George Russell and Kimi Antonelli, okay. Maybe Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon is a better pairing than them, but that's only because we've got nothing to go off for Kimi Antonelli. And then you can... Oscar and Lando. Come on. Fair enough, he's talking up his boys, and I respect that, you know, he's backing his boys, but that is just laughable.
Well, do you want to hear what he said? So he said, Vowles is especially enthusiastic about his drivers, making the case that Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon completes the best lineup in F1. He said, that's my opinion on it. I'll explain some of the reasons behind it.
That's not his opinion.
A, they're both performing at a very high level. I mean, Carlos has driven against all the drivers you've just discussed. They've obviously he was on a podcast. He was discussing all the other drivers.
Well, so was Mazepin. He's driven against them. How's that the basis of how good someone is? Oh, he's driven against them before.
He drove against Lando, was successful against Charles, up and down, but he's there or thereabouts. They hardly had anything between the two drivers. Against Max in the first year at Toro Rosso, he was exceptional against him. But it's not just that I'm basing it on. The car, it's also out of the car.
How old was Max?
He must have been like, what, 18?
He was like 12 years old. And then, like, pretty much instantly got promoted to Red Bull. That to me is such a bad take. And James Vowles hasn't got many bad takes, but that is poor. And, like, all of those opinions are just like, right. Like, how is that justification for them? What's Albon done? Oh, he did really well when he was in that Red
Back
Bull
in
seat.
Melbourne in 2022, he did the whole race on hards and then put it on the last lap. And still got a P10.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you very much.
He got absolutely smoked by Max.
Yeah.
He lost his seat pretty quickly in a Red Bull. Yeah, Albon's been doing great. Okay, he's a different driver. That's years ago. Well, I would still like to argue the point that we've actually not seen Albon next to a competitive driver in Williams until, you could argue, Colapinto, who has come in, and to be fair, he's matched him.
Yeah.
So, was Logan Sargeant shit? Yes. Was Alex Albon that great? Who knows? I think putting him next to Carlos Sainz is going to be extremely telling as to how good Alex Albon really is.
100%. And I agree with you. I don't think it's the strongest lineup on the grid.
It's not even... It's
not even the top five.
Top
four.
It's not top three, that's for sure.
Okay. If you're looking at the grid then,
yeah,
and you're going... So if you're looking at the grid, who is the strongest lineup? Who's your top three strongest lineup?
Lewis and Charles
yep.
is undeniably the strongest lineup.
Yeah.
In terms of two individual drivers, that is the strongest lineup. Oscar and Lando is the second strongest lineup. The third is going to be Max and Perez, and that's because Max just carries that. My point is I know you've got to look at it as individuals, but Max carries that lineup, right?
Yeah.
Max is not going to fall anywhere out of the the top three because...
So is that a strong lineup then, if you're just relying on one driver?
Well, not necessarily, but it's strong because of Max.
Hmm.
If you're a team principal, right, and someone comes to you and says, right, you can have Alex Albon and Carlos Sainz, or you can have Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen. Yeah, no one is turning down Max and Perez. You're taking them because of Max, fair enough, but there's no way you're taking the other two guys over Max.
No? All right, yeah, I get that, yeah.
But Max will win you races on his own.
Yeah.
The other two, Sainz and Albon, I think are both really good drivers. I think Sainz is a league above Albon. Max is leagues, that's plural, above the pair of them.
No. Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
So that's why I think, yeah, they are a stronger lineup.
Can't disagree.
I would say they then probably do full...
Probably P4.
Yeah, but I think we have to give Kimi Antonelli... Give him half a season. I think George and Kimi would probably take that P4, but whether that comes down to the car or not, it'd be hard to tell. Albon and Sainz have achieved more than George and Kimi, obviously, at this point in time in their career.
No, fair point. Do let us know who would be your top three. Right, as we discussed last week, Alpine have cut ties with Renault for 2026 with regards to their engine. But as we also discussed last week, they're expected to switch to Mercedes. Can you tell me how much it looks like Alpine will have to pay to use the Mercedes power units when the new regulations come in?
Hmm. I actually never really thought about this, the fact that you actually have to pay.
Yeah, you don't just get given it. Or you just thought, oh, I don't want Renault or Mercedes, you've got a good engine, can you pop it over?
No, I just didn't really know how it... I just never really thought about how
And this
it
is
worked.
In pounds.
Is this for a full season?
It doesn't say how long. I'm assuming, let's just say it's a 2000, well, just one season, yeah.
£200 million.
Well, you're well off. 15 million.
Oh, shit. Why? Well, I just thought...
What, the whole cost cap is literally just basically on the power unit.
No, I didn't know if they had to pay for like the partnership or... I don't know, yeah, 200 mil was a bit fucking dumb, wasn't it?
Well, I only went 250 million.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, what I meant to say was 25. And then I would have been a lot closer to the real number of 15.
For me, this is a very exciting...
That must be for just one season then.
It must be. This is a very exciting prospect for Alpine. I really do believe that. I think, you know, we have Jack Doohan coming in. Alongside Pierre Gasly, they have the foundations there to really, you know, make good progress.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good little lineup.
Yeah,
you know, Gasly is a good driver.
He's a race winner.
He's never going to win you a world championship. He'll never have the car. Yeah, but he'll never have the car because he's not that material. But he's a great driver. If I was a team principal, I'd be happy with someone like Pierre Gasly.
Yeah.
And then Jack Doohan, I mean, deserves his shot. Yeah. I'm glad he's got it.
So, for me, if you're Alpine, you're very excited about that prospect about joining Mercedes. I think it's good. Well, yeah, getting the power unit. Anyway.
Especially considering all the rumours coming out about the 2026 engine.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, why wouldn't you be excited? No. And Renault have been bum for years now.
Lando Norris, I told you there's a lot of news here. There's a lot of news. So Lando Norris issues Verstappen relationship update. You read this?
Is this really a thing? Look, is this where like elite level sport has got to?
Yep.
Let me guess, their best pals have been hanging out, they're on holiday.
No, I want to hear your take on this because I found this quite interesting. So Lando Norris has provided an update on his relationship with Max Verstappen, insisting that he hates all drivers when the visor goes down. As soon as I put the helmet on, I hate everyone. That doesn't change. a lot of people think because I get along with someone here or because I don't know, I just play on video games with someone, that you're just best mates in life. No matter what you do, that's just nonsense. We do those things. We have similar interests. We play paddle together, that kind of stuff. And I like Max as a guy. I think he's a very genuine guy, but that doesn't change anything when I'm on the track.
I think, firstly, that's a great take because that's exactly how it should be. I also personally like it when the rivalry spills over into real life.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, on the track is real life, I guess. But you know what I mean. Like, proper rivalries that we just don't see anymore. Everyone's, like, coming out, like, jumping out the car, dapping each other. And it's like, fucking hell, boys. Just show some passion. Do you know what I mean? But that's also bullshit because, I mean, for however many years, he's literally just, like, pulled over and waved Max by.
A lot.
But I do think it will likely be different when, you know, now it's a scenario where actually it's Lando's races and points at jeopardy. It's not, oh, well, like, Max is going to overtake me anyway. It's like now he is actually racing Max. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see them get to the point where they don't want to play paddle with each other because they just dislike each other.
Yeah.
That, for me, is proper sport rivalry. I mean, obviously, you go on the pitch and, like, when you play football at the weekend, you go on the pitch and you hate the opposition, but I feel like even at, like, lower level, it spills over into, like, well, I'm not fucking shaking their hand at the end of the game. And it's like, I kind of feel like the new generation kind of taking it to the point where it's like, oh yeah, we're just friends. It's like, don't just be friends. Give us more Lewis Max rivalries. You know,
very, very good rivalries.
You know, when it's a full on head to head, don't like each other outside of the track as well. Hate each other.
Interestingly, last week we posted a TikTok regarding our views on Abu Dhabi 21.
Get a lot of Max fans hating us.
No, we actually get a lot of people go, do you know what? They're not over it. They completely understand. They're not over it. I had quite a good interaction on the TikTok.
Nice work, you lot.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Damon Hill. Don't like him?
He's got some awful takes, hasn't he?
Well, this one for me is also an awful take.
You see, I called it before it even came out.
Well, actually, I think you're going to agree with him on this one. I think it's a bad take, but I think you will think it's actually a relatively good take.
Is that just because I like disagreeing with you, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Damon Hill believes that George Russell and Charles Leclerc have what it takes to win the world championship during their F1 careers. I would not discount George Russell. I think George is definitely a contender, and Charles Leclerc is typical Ferrari driver in many ways. It's win or bust with Charles, it seems to be, but you can win a championship like that. Firstly, okay, yes, they have the potential to win a championship. Any driver on that grid have, in theory, have a potential to win a world championship.
Well, do they?
Okay, if you're in a top team. Do I think they will win?
Does Sergio Perez?
Well, he does have the potential in some sense. He's in the best car.
No, he's got the opportunity.
Okay.
He hasn't got the potential.
Okay. Do I think George Russell and Charles Leclerc will be world champions? No. I think Charles Leclerc has had his opportunity. He wasted it. I'm talking about the 2022 season. Do I think that George Russell will be a world champion? No, I really don't. I just can't see it. I think he, under pressure, he just can't handle it. That's my personal opinion.
I think they're both capable of being world champions.
I told you he would disagree with me here.
I do. I think if Charles has the right car, he is capable of winning a world championship. He does need to make sure he doesn't make the same mistakes that he made in 2022, but that was his first real opportunity at going for a world championship. Not everyone is a Lewis Hamilton. Not everyone is a Max Verstappen, right? I think because we're kind of so blessed in this era that we've got two drivers that are like stratospherically on a different level to like great F1 drivers.
Yeah.
We look at other drivers like George Russell, Charles Leclerc, who you take Lewis and Max out of the picture, they're the best drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
Like those boys, you know, Lando as well. But they instantly look worse when you pit them against someone like Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen, you know, if those two hadn't been in the sport for the past however many years, I mean, Lewis a long time, but let's say from 2014, and then Max sort of taking over the flame, who knows who would have won?
Yeah.
I think those guys are both capable of winning world championships. It's just whether they're capable of winning world championships all the while Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen are on the grid.
Personally, I can't see it. I just can't see it. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, so let's play this game.
Okay.
Lewis and Max retire at the end of this season. Who wins next year? And let's assume... Okay, let's assume that Ferrari then just keep Carlos Sainz. And who the hell did Red Bull get in this scenario? Liam Lawson gets promoted to Red Bull. I know this would not happen.
No. Okay, I'm basing my theory of the fact that Max is still around in the sport and the likes of Lewis Hamilton. And we've still got people like Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri, I do believe, is a future world champion.
But you don't believe Lando is?
No.
But Lando is currently outperforming Oscar Piastri.
Okay, by one race win.
Where's he in the point? Where's he in
okay,
the championship?
Okay, yeah, okay, I get it with regards to the championship. But you're talking about a... All right, answer me this then, all right?
You didn't answer my question.
What was your question?
My question was, who wins the title next season if you take Max and or even, you know what, let's make this more interesting.
Yeah,
who wins the title in 2021 if Max and Lewis aren't there?
Sergio Perez.
Is that based purely because he finished third?
Yeah. he had the better car.
But it would have been a completely different kettle of fish.
It would have, and I agree with you on that one.
And then, you know, who wins it in 2022 if you take out Max Verstappen?
Yeah, but no, okay, you've missed my point. I said to you, Charles Leclerc has missed his opportunity. He should have won in 2022.
But what if he has the car in 2026? What if he has the car next year?
I still think Lewis would beat Charles over the season.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. But
if you're taking out Lewis and Max, yes, okay, he has a better opportunity of winning. But I'm not basing my opinion on that. I'm basing my opinion on that Max Verstappen is still around. You've got, you know, new drivers coming in, the likes of Kimi Antonelli.
Okay,
you've got Oscar Piastri is going to get better.
2026, Mercedes have a championship winning car. Who wins, George or Kimi?
Kimi.
You've not even seen Kimi race. How can you say that?
I knew that would trigger him. Look, I don't know. I can't base that on... I can only base what I see next year. But what I'm saying at this moment in time is... I'm basing my opinion on who's on track at this moment in time. So if you're looking, I would still back actually Lando to win a championship instead of George Russell.
Okay, what if George Russell was driving the Red Bull last season?
Okay, well, I mean, these are all hypothetical. Of course he would probably win it then.
So he is capable.
I didn't say he's, as I said to you earlier, he's capable, but do I think he will do it? I don't know.
But that's also not what Damon Hill said. He said they have the potential.
Yeah. And I said they have the potential, but I just don't think they would do it. I think Charles Leclerc had his opportunity in 2022. He didn't take it. George, I just think there's too many mistakes in him to actually be so consistent in actually being able to lead a championship.
I don't know. Comment down below. Who wins a championship first? Charles? George, or none of them.
Mm. All right. Going back to the question about Lando and Oscar then.
Yeah.
You asked me the question about, Lando's winning in the, you know, he's won more races.
He has won more races and he's also scored
more points. Granted. This season, out of all the race wins, what's been the most impressive win out of all the McLaren wins this year?
Oh my god, surely we can't base it on what's the most impressive. You could argue Zandvoort, Singapore.
Yeah. But what did you think, what race win do you think that stands out that was the most impressive win? I know my answer.
Yeah, but what? Because Piastri was getting attacked for the whole race because he wasn't quick enough to pull away. Whereas Lando in Zandvoort just zipped away from Max, and Lando in Singapore zipped away from Max.
Yes, because the rest of the cars weren't performing. But Oscar Piastri... Oh,
but now you're assuming that it's... Okay, so when Lando wins by 25 seconds, it's the car. But when Oscar just scrapes a win, it's the driver's ability.
But he didn't just scrape a win. He held on to that win and he raced it perfectly.
Yeah, okay. I don't mean he scraped it as in, like, he got lucky to keep it. He fully deserved that win. Mate, and he did fight that. But you can't say that when Lando wins by 25 seconds, oh, well, he had a good car.
No. Those performances were great. But what I'm asking you, which, for you, what's been the most impressive McLaren win this year?
Well, I would say the ones where they've dominated.
Okay, well, that's fine.
But you're, from an entertainment perspective, watching Oscar's win was a lot more enjoyable because there was battles going on. Is he going to be overtaken by Charles Leclerc into turn one? Oh my God, now Sergio Perez is in the mix, blah, blah, blah. But it's not as impressive as just dominating a race and winning by 20 seconds. Surely.
Yeah, no. I'll
use one of my infamous football analogies. What's a more impressive win? Winning 2-1 by scoring a 98th minute bicycle kick or winning 8-0?
No, you'd always go by the 8-0, but the ones you would remember were the ones you actually had to fight for at the end. Oscar, for me, that was a very, very mature performance.
Ask Lando that question. I'm sure he'll say, well, actually, I remember Singapore and I remember Zandvoort.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look.
And Miami, his first ever win. Hmm. Which he ended up winning very comfortably. So,
look, it wasn't meant to be a trick question. I'm just asking, what's your most standout race win this year?
Yeah, but it's a loaded question.
It's not a loaded question. It's literally just going, what race for you this year was the most standout performance? For me, the standout performance was watching Oscar Piastri get past Leclerc. Really hold on. The defence was all round brilliant.
But then Zandvoort, Lando had to get past Max.
Okay, that car was always going to get past Max. That Red Bull wasn't even in the picture that day.
So why was the McLaren not always going to get past the Ferrari? Where's the Ferrari been all season? Why is that suddenly like this magic car that like Oscar's had to really struggle to beat?
But I wouldn't say he struggled to beat. He held
on. Based on your argument, it was like, oh yeah, you know, that fantastic dive down the inside that he did, and then he really did well to hold on to it. And it's like, well, he was in the quickest car. He should have held on to it. All I'm saying is if Lando was in that car, would Lando have won by 10 seconds, 12 seconds, 15 seconds? This is assuming all the chaos that went on. I know that affected shit. But you're saying it's impressive because it was a very cool watch. Mm. Like, it was a great watch. And it was a great drive from Oscar. But I'm saying, if Lando was in that seat, would it have looked so difficult? Or would he have made it look easier?
Well, we don't know, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't know. No. I don't know. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. See, I knew Luke wouldn't agree with me on that one. Mm. Fair play. Red Bull advisor Helmut Marko believes Mick Schumacher's F1 career is over unless he lands a vacant seat at Sauber this year. Well, firstly, that's not going to happen. Secondly, I think his career was over when he left Haas. I can't see Mick Schumacher being back in the sport at all.
No.
I mean, it would make sense going to Audi, the German link.
Yeah.
But they've got Nico Hülkenberg. I can't see. I personally can't see him being back in the sport.
Nah, I would be surprised. I think it's not. Like, the thing is, I know Mick won the F3 championship and the F2 championship.
Yeah.
So like, I do feel like sometimes we shouldn't put as much disrespect on his name as we do. All F1 fans do. But his time in F1 was completely underwhelming. We always gave him the benefit of the doubt for the 21 season because Haas literally did zero development on the car, and he always outperformed Mazepin. Not the hardest feat in the world, though. Come 2022, he was absolutely schooled by Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah.
Who then that led to Mick getting replaced, and then Hülkenberg came in and he actually ended up schooling Kevin Magnussen. So, yeah, I think I'll be very surprised if he gets given another opportunity. I think he's had his chance, didn't work out. And that is that. I don't think that's a, that's one of Marco's more agreeable takes.
Yeah. Talking about Helmut Marko, he continues to rate Yuki Tsunoda, seeing him as a contender to join Red Bull. However, he said not everyone at Red Bull shares that view. We've discussed this in the past, haven't we? And, you know, when you're looking at Red Bull, Sergio Perez, people know our views on Sergio Perez. We think he's just holding on to that seat and actually he should give that up and give it to someone else. Mm. I would love to see Yuki Tsunoda in that seat. I think he has been far more consistent this year, and it's probably over the last year he's become far more consistent than he has been before. And I think he deserves the opportunity. Do I think that it's going to happen? I can't see it happening, unfortunately. But I'd love to see Yuki in a Red Bull seat.
Well, I don't think Yuki Tsunoda will ever get a Red Bull seat.
No.
And that's not because I think he doesn't deserve one. I just don't think he'll ever get it. I don't think he's in their plans to get the Red Bull seat. It's as simple as that. It's a shame, because I don't really see what else he can do. I think he's a very solid, consistent performer. Yeah. He's matured a lot since coming into the sport. And I feel like he deserves his shot, but he's never going to get it. You know, Liam Lawson will find himself in that Red Bull seat way before Yuki Tsunoda ever does.
Yeah.
And who knows? It might come to light that actually that was the correct decision. Let's see. You know, we've got the rest of the season with Liam Lawson versus Yuki Tsunoda. If Liam outperforms him, fair play. But I feel like Yuki probably should have been given a chance before this point.
I feel like Red Bull would have nothing to lose at this point. Perez isn't really doing much.
I think for them it's more about the financial side at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think Red Bull should have changed earlier in the year. It's cost them the constructors. They should have got someone else
in. It's fully cost them the constructors not being their normal ruthless self.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen them absolutely crush the confidence of young drivers by ripping them out of their seat midway through a season and plonking someone else in there because they haven't been performing?
Yeah.
And then you've got Sergio Perez, who's just been holding on to it.
He must have something.
He's got to have dirt on someone in that team. He must know about, like, maybe Horner. What if Perez was actually catfishing Horner? So he's got the pictures of his cock on his phone. That's the only way. Perez was probably thinking ahead, right? He was like, I'm going to lose my seat. I'm not good enough. Got to do something to keep it. Bang, bang, bang. Sets up a little fake profile. Catfishes Horner. Does the naughty with him. Not like physically, but like, you know, gets all this dirt on him. That's a picture of his cock. He can never get sacked. Do you see the logic there? It does make sense.
So you think that's why he's still in his seat?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. It is. What other explanation is there?
Clip that one up. Let us know. Why is Sergio Perez still in the seat? Do let us know on that one. Right. We've got 6 races left. Estimated crash damages so far this season. Can you give me the top 3?
I know that Sergio Perez is in there and it's at around $3.5 million.
So this is in dollars, I've got it here. So the top one is $4.5 million.
You know what? Is Logan Sargeant on this list?
You tell me who's in the top 3. You give me your top 3. Well, I'm not going to tell you. He's on the list, but I'm I need
well,
a top three.
That's what I asked.
Well, no, he's on the list. I got a top 10 here.
I said, is he on the list?
Yeah, but I'm talking about just top three.
No, I know, but...
give me your top three.
Well, so Logan Sargent is going to be in the top three.
Okay.
So
let's go backwards. So P3 with $2.395 million.
That's not going backwards. That's going forward.
Going forward.
P3 with what?
$2,395,000.
Alex Albon.
Alex Albon. Well done. P2 with just over $3 million.
Alexa, stop.
P2 with $3 million.
Sergio Perez.
No.
Oh, all right, don't interrupt me. actually, don't know. I'm trying to think of big crashes that have happened this year. But, like, to be at that level, like, you need to have had multiple crashes. Maybe Logan Sargent.
Logan Sargent.
Oh.
P1 with $4.5 million.
Sergio Perez. Oh, nice, I got it.
Well done.
I think that's the best I've ever done in a quiz.
That is probably the best you've ever done. Do let us know what your thoughts on that. That is mental, isn't it?
Yeah, so not only is he shit, he also crashes a lot.
And he's costing the team a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But if you're looking at Williams as well, that's also embarrassing that your top three... the top three there is both your drivers. And one of them hasn't raced in the last three races.
Yep. And one of them is forming the best partnership on the grid next year.
Exactly. Right, another little quiz for you. Laps led in 2024. So let me start this off with you.
Right,
MP1.
I don't have to give numbers though, do I?
No, I'll give you the numbers. So let's go all the way down. So in P1 with 468 laps led.
Max Verstappen.
Okay, 208.
Lando Norris.
123.
Oscar Piastri.
121.
Shit in hell, that's close. Charles Leclerc?
Yep, 71.
Blimey, this is getting difficult now.
You're doing well so far.
I am, but now... 71. Lewis Hamilton?
Nope. Carlos Sainz.
Ah, see, I was thinking maybe it was Sainz, but then he hasn't won anything this season, has he?
He led all of Australia.
Did he win Australia?
Yes. He came back from his appendix and won it.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yes. 61 laps.
Lewis.
Russell.
Oh.
30.
Lewis. Wow, so Lewis has only led 30 laps.
And he did lead Spa for a majority of that.
Yeah, that's pretty...
I know, well, for I say majority and then obviously in George. This is going to... Okay, my favourite saying, this is going to blow your mind. What driver has led one lap this whole season?
Sergio Perez. He's only led one lap.
Has led one lap this season in that Red Bull. And let's just say that Red Bull at the beginning of the season
was the best car
on the grid. And Sergio Perez has led one lap. It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. Interestingly, reports have come out today saying that, obviously, we know Renault won't be on the grid for 2026 anymore, their engine. But apparently it was exceeding performance targets before their project was abandoned. So the engine apparently was looking very, very strong for 2026.
Like they abandoned it. Oh, actually, I think I've read about this because now a number of teams are actually trying to poach their engineers, aren't they?
Yes. So Ferrari are now signing several Renault engineers.
Come on, Lewis.
So... really interesting because Renault engines have been bad for so long. For some reason, this one for the 2026 was looking good. Alpine were like, no, don't want to deal with it. They decided
the Renault Clio, didn't they?
It's
what they did.
And now they've gone for the Renault Megane.
That is... I'm glad that it's Ferrari that are taking the men. That is what we need for Sir Lewis Hamilton in 2026.
Yeah.
You know, 2025 is a tasty year. 2026 is when he wins number 8 and then retires. Not that he needs to. He could go on and win number 9, number 10. It's up to him.
Yeah.
But what an ending to a career. But I think it's mad that they would actively look at the project and be like, yeah, we're doing really well here. Should we just fuck off?
Yeah.
It's like, how does that make sense? Well, you've persisted for literally nearly 20 years. And then the second it actually looks good, you're like,
All right, that's it. That's us done.
Let's call it a day. Why? It's like all that work. That makes no sense, but... At least they're getting picked up by the Ferrari boys.
Yeah, I'm quite positive. I'm quite positive. Touching on Ferrari, we're both Lewis Hamilton fans, okay? Do you think Lewis Hamilton will win a world championship with Ferrari?
Not next year. Definitely not, like, in my opinion, definitely not next year. But 2026, you never know. He's still well and truly capable of winning a world championship. You give him the car, he can win it. If their 2026 development is good, then great. The one thing I will say is Lewis opted to move to Ferrari knowing what Mercedes development was like.
Yeah.
He would have had to have been sold the 2026 project still by Ferrari. And he was obviously sold by what they had said to him, knowing everything he knows about the Mercedes project. So there's got to be something there.
Yeah.
I think, look, we know that realistically next year is probably a McLaren washout. You know, just given how they're going, I think I'll be surprised if they don't strongly win the championship next year. But 2026, we have got a clean slate.
Yeah.
And I can't say whether, like, yes or no, definitively, I think he will win there. I think if he's got the car, he will win. Ferrari, it's over to you.
Mate, I must be really deluded because I'm certain Lewis will win a championship with Ferrari. Yeah, whether it's next year or not, another year, in my mind, right, it makes logical sense. And you may be listening to this at home and going, what the hell is he on about? He started off with McLaren. He won a championship. He was won the best car.
In quite a like fairy tale way as well.
Exactly. He then went. He then left McLaren. Everyone was a bit shocked going to a Mercedes team that wasn't really doing great. He went there. He won championships there. Okay. He won 6 world championships. Should have been 7. In my mind, he's going now to Ferrari and he's going to win a championship. He's going to win a first championship for Ferrari since, what, Kimi Raikkonen back in 2007, was ever. I'm certain it's going to happen.
It is one of those things where if anyone is going to do it, it's going to be Lewis Hamilton. And I think at this point, you could even argue, not even due to his ability, but due to like the story of his life and how he's one of those... There are these people in life, right? And I don't care what you say. There are some people that life is just absolutely like curated for. Everything they touch turns to gold.
Yeah.
And this is not taken away from all the hard work that Lewis Hamilton has done in his career. But some people are, and I genuinely believe this, just destined to be better.
Yeah.
To get more from the world. And everything they do, they succeed in. And I feel like... It would be the most Lewis Hamilton thing in the world to go to Ferrari and win them that first championship since Michael Schumacher. It would be the most Lewis Hamilton thing in the world to go to a Ferrari team that has, you know, not progressed in the way that it should in this era of cars, but then 2026 somehow absolutely nail it and they have the best car, which who would have thought that? And I think if anyone is going to do it, it will be Lewis.
Can I just say, I know Luke just said, you know, win a championship, Michael Schumacher. Michael Schumacher wasn't the last Ferrari world champion.
Yeah, I know, Kimi Raikkonen was. But you did just Google that.
No, I literally just said it beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I just double-checked. Well, it was 2007. I was right.
It was. Obviously, he beat Lewis to it by one point. Yeah. I'm sorry I forgot about that. But realistically, people do forget about that championship. Because when it comes, like, after Michael, you do just think Michael Schumacher. When you think Ferrari, you think Michael Schumacher.
Yeah.
When you think to Ferrari winning and their glory days, you think Michael Schumacher. Yeah. Okay. Kimi Räikkönen went on to win one more. Felipe Massa could have won the following season.
Yep.
If it wasn't for whatever the fuck happened to Timo Glock's car. But, you know, here we are. And I think Lewis Hamilton is going to...
Wasn't that so good, though?
It was.
Wasn't that so good watching it? You know, you see literally the Massa family going mental, thinking they've won it, all celebrating. And then all of a sudden the camera pans to them. And I think it was the Massa's dad.
Yeah, and he hit the tizen.
Yeah, it was just an utter shock when he realizes that Lewis goes absolutely superb.
But yeah, that, and that's what I mean. Like, it's full circle, you know. Lewis goes from stealing that, like, world championship from Ferrari to then winning them the first one in what would be like 19 years at the time.
That is brilliant. McLaren have plenty of upgrades ready in the pipeline.
Surely you've had enough, boys. Just take the rest of the year off. Fuck off. Let's have a good season, because other boys might catch up a little bit. Even if you bring no upgrades, no one is catching you at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Just lay off it. Let's have a season. Honestly, like, we've had enough of Red Bull. We then think, finally, we've got a race. No, you go and exceed them.
They are going to get faster, and that's the worrying thing.
It's annoying. It's just, you know, we hit that sweet spot where, like, Red Bull and McLaren were the same speed, and it's like, oh shit.
All right, if you're going to give a message to McLaren about tell them to slow down, what are you going to say to them?
Go to the pub, boys. It's nearly Christmas. Get out the factory. But the thing is like, I don't care. I would rather just have a better season. And surely, all of them, they're F1 fans. Yeah, do the boys a solid and just fuck off. Is that... I think that's fair. We had to endure 2023. The worst season, I think... It was like a season that was scripted by the devil. I can't believe we sat through it as fans. We had to turn up here every week and talk about it. That was hard work.
We don't want another one.
I think, yeah, you know, I'm all for someone else other than Max winning. But what I can't be asked is for Red Bull to just pass the baton to McLaren.
Yeah. I'm confident we're going to get different teams next year. I'm confident Ferrari have made strides.
Why?
I just think that they have just made
it. No, there's no like knowledge backing that up whatsoever.
Okay, since Monza, when they brought in their upgrades, they've been stronger. They won in Monza.
They shouldn't have won in Monza.
They still won in Monza.
Oh, okay, well...
They got a P2 in Baku.
Well, Esteban Ocon won in fucking Hungary 2021.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, okay, well, what do you...
They've been making leaps and bounds.
What do you make upgrades? When you look at upgrades, how do you determine whether they've been successful or not? I mean, the first upgrades they brought to Monza, they literally won the race. They hadn't been anywhere before the summer break.
That's not true. Charles Leclerc was third in the championship.
Third in championship, but they had a strong start. But then for ages, Charles Leclerc was barely in the points, was he? He had DNFs. He was all over the place.
Yeah. Okay, but. Yeah, they've probably made the car a little bit better. I'm not sure whether they've taken it to a point where I think, oh, they could be competing next year.
I'm not saying that they're going to be, but I think they'll be better next year.
But I still the cars get better every year.
You're such a dick.
No, but I just think it's so yo-yo. Like, at one point, I thought Mercedes were the quickest car. I thought we were going to go on and get loads of race wins.
Yeah, but hang on. Me saying that Ferrari... For the last 3 years, whenever actually Mercedes go, oh, there's going to be an upgrade, you literally get like so excited about thinking that they're literally like, this is it. They're going to be take it to the next level. They don't take it to the next level.
Yeah, that's excitement. But I don't base that. That's purely all on my imagination.
Okay, my imagination, though, actually comes true, because I was thinking Ferrari will bring an upgrade and which will make them better. They then go on and win Monza. Oh, they then have a P2 and look strong in Baku. They're looking stronger.
Yeah, well, thanks, Yuri Geller. You thought it, so it came true. That's just not how it came to fruition.
Your upgrades over the last 2 years have been ridiculous. Mate, Mercedes got these upgrades. Really excited about it. They're fucking going backwards.
Granted, I got fucking shafted by these Reddit users.
But how many times?
Every time. But that's not the point. The point is that Ferrari have actually brought these upgrades. Yeah, they won in Monza. They've really done much else.
So good.
And the Monza thing was fucking scripted anyway.
Still won, mate. Still won. Where did they finish in Singapore?
Exactly.
No, where did they finish in Singapore? I can't remember.
Do you know what I mean?
That's not the answer I was looking for, mate.
Well, they weren't on P5. They weren't on the podium.
No, P5. Right. There are growing concerns about Red Bull's 2025 development. If it's anything, we say good, but wouldn't you rather have a stronger battle between Red Bull and McLaren in 2025 than just having a dominated McLaren? So I'm actually a bit concerned about this, and it's a bit weird for me to say this because I'm not a Red Bull fan. But if Red Bull's development is going to continue on the way they are currently going, then 2025 is going to be a very, very long season for them with not much progression. They're going to be going backwards.
Yeah, but I don't need to worry about Red Bull being there because Ferrari are going to be there.
You 100%,
just,
yeah, yeah.
You just told me.
Yeah, they will be, yeah.
So I think, no, I'm happy to see Red Bull suffer. I've wanted to see them suffer since the 2021 season.
Yep.
For some reason, I've been punished and I've had to watch them win pretty much every single race since. So, actually, if they produce the worst car on the grid, I'll have a party. I would take a season of pain watching McLaren dominate every race. Not for Red Bull to be the second quickest, but for Red Bull to be like the fourth or fifth quickest.
Yep. Yeah.
That I would enjoy that. I really would.
Yeah, fair. Got a question for you. All right, McLaren, you know, Max Verstappen comes up and he's like, look, I want to join your team. Max Verstappen, potentially four-time world champion this year, just waiting to see. If you're Zak Brown, are you taking him?
I mean, you should do.
But who are you replacing him with?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I think if you're Zak Brown, you're not taking him. But you probably really want to take him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's like you have eaten dinner at home and then you go to your parents and they're like, oh, we're just ordering a Chinese. Do you want anything? You're like, fuck. I shouldn't have eaten. Why did I cook? And I think it will be a bit like that where he'll be like, oh, this is a nightmare because I wish I could get rid of one of them. But it's kind of like, he can't. And who'd you get rid of? You'd probably get rid of Oscar. Like, you say Lando, fine, just to be controversial or whatever. But if you were to get rid of, I would definitely get rid of Oscar and put Max in the car. How the hell do you say no to Max Verstappen?
Okay. But why would you get rid of Oscar over Lando?
Oh, I know, because you'd come in with a black sack, grab Lando by the back and tie him up and throw him in the back of a van and dump him in a pond.
I'm asking
the question. I actually think Lando's all right.
No, I think Lando's a very good driver. I'm not debating that. But when you look at someone like Oscar, who's coming through in his second season, made good progression. They obviously went through that whole saga of taking him from Alpine. They wanted him. He's one for the future. He's still very young. My question is, if you're looking at the future, why would it be Oscar instead of Lando? I'm actually asking the question. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just...
Well, I think for the point that I always make is the fact that Lando is performing better than Oscar.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue against that point. It's like,
I'm not arguing against it because I agree. I think if you're at this point in time, you probably would get rid of Oscar and you probably would keep Lando with Max. I agree with you on that one at this moment in time. I think if in a year's time, 2 years' time, if Oscar continues going the way he is, I think it's a very hard call.
Yeah, but that's assuming that Lando doesn't improve as well.
Okay, say Lando doesn't win a world championship in the next 2 years, okay?
Well, say Oscar doesn't win a world championship in the next 2 years.
But who's more expected to win a world championship out of those two at this moment in time?
Who's finishing ahead in the championship?
Okay.
No, but that's the important thing. Okay, so if Lando doesn't win...
Lando's been in this McLaren team a long time and actually hasn't won anything. I'm talking about now. So say McLaren have the best car now, okay? He doesn't win a championship this year. He doesn't win it next year.
What if Oscar doesn't? What if Lando still finishes ahead of Oscar in both those years?
Well, then that's a tough decision, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's an easy decision. You would pick Lando to stay at the team.
Look, I know you hate Oscar, but...
Don't spin this on me.
You're an Oscar. No. Oscar
hater. My points are for rationally based on...
I don't think you've ever said anything nice about Oscar.
I think Oscar's unbelievable. But I think to rate him at this point ahead of Lando is just fiction. Because there's nothing to base that on.
Yeah.
Lando has consistently outperformed him. And Oscar has these fantastic races where he beats Lando. And that's the beauty of having two unbelievable drivers. But you can't deny that at this point in time, Lando is factually and statistically a better driver.
Yeah, I can't deny that. I'm not denying that. Shall we quickly touch on the US Grand Prix? Because obviously we're not here next week.
We are not here next week.
So let's just give you a quick rundown time-wise. On the 18th of October, next Friday, FP1 is 6:30 to 7:30. We've got sprint race.
In the evening?
Yep. Sprint nice. Qualifying is 10:30 to 11:15 on the Friday. The sprint on the Saturday is 7:00 to 8:00. And qualifying that evening is 11:00 to 12:00. Bit of a late one. Race time on the Sunday is 8:00.
Well, it's well hard to send a message on this watch.
I'm so glad you're paying attention.
I am.
Would you do this on Waffling?
Probably, to be fair.
if you're audio listening, you're wondering why it's gone quiet. It's Luke is trying to type a message on his Apple Watch,
which is a pointless feature because the keyboard is so tiny that you can't actually do anything anyway.
Good. So I'm going to retest you on that one.
Yeah.
What was any of the times I said?
So the
when's the sprint qualifying?
Oh, that's on Saturday.
No, the sprint qualifying is on Friday.
That's what I meant.
What time did I say?
Half nine.
10:15. The sprint race on Saturday. What time did I say?
Half six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't. 7:00 to 8:00. Hmm. Qualifying, what did I say on Saturday?
Well, that's at 10:30. 11.
11:00 to 12:00.
Yeah.
And the race on Sunday?
Oh. No, that's an easy one. That's at 9:00.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've literally just highlighted the point that Luke didn't listen to nothing I just said there. 8:00. Not very good.
I didn't think it would be the same time as quali.
Yeah. Hamilton is hopeful at the United States Grand Prix. He's come out, he said it's a good track. It's one of the best circuits for racing. I'm looking forward to going there at least I have a fresh engine there as well. Hopefully our upgrades work. I know the team are working incredibly hard to bring them up these upgrades.
They will work.
He's confident they'll work. He has obviously said that they are off the pace compared to the McLaren and Ferrari. It's really weird not seeing the Red Bull name in those discussions anymore, where Mercedes are saying they're off the pace. They're saying they're off the pace to the McLaren and the Ferrari. They're not including Red Bull in that, which is very bizarre.
Yeah, but they're off the pace to the Red Bull as well.
Not what he says here.
But you've witnessed it.
I'm only going by, look, I'm only reading facts here.
No, you're reading someone's opinion.
I'm reading someone's opinion, and that's all I can give. I can only give someone what they're saying. Who's your top three for the United States Grand Prix?
Number one, Lando Norris.
Yeah.
Number two, Lewis Hamilton. Number three.
And you say I'm deluded.
Number three. Carlos Sainz.
Okay, that's quite an interesting one.
It's controversial, but...
My top three. Oscar Piastri. No, I'm joking. I know what you're going to say. I think Lando Norris.
Why have you changed your tune all of a sudden?
Love Lando. Lando Norris, P1. I am going to go Oscar Piastri, P2. I'm going to say Max Verstappen, P3.
But I thought the Red Bull was off the pace to the Ferraris.
Lewis said that. I didn't say that. Look, he said that and I didn't say that. I do think Max is the only person who can get that Red Bull into those positions. With regards to Red Bull at the moment, anyone else in that car, Sergio Perez, if there was anyone else in there, I don't think they'd be able to do it. But I do believe in Max Verstappen, and he can get those P3s, P4s, exactly what he needs to do just to tie the championship over. So I'm confident he can get P3.
Whose take is worse?
It's definitely yours. You put Lewis Hamilton P2.
Well, we'll actually see come next week.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we will. What was that about? What was your face then? Well, we will come and see next week.
Right, you're going to make a public apology when Lewis Hamilton finishes P2. That's what you're going to look down that camera lens and you're going to publicly apologise for your lack of knowledge and for underestimating the size of my brain.
Okay, interesting. And when Max Verstappen gets a P3, you can do a public apology.
Oh yeah, for Max getting a podium.
Yeah, exactly.
I should be sorry for that.
Yeah, you should be. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Sorry, are we keeping you away from stuff?
No, I think we've touched on everything I wanted to talk about today.
We turned up, right, guys? If you're still listening at the end of this, fair play to you. Luke turns up with no preparation. He goes, "Well, actually, I've read nothing F1." The only person who does anything for this podcast is me.
No, I set up the camera.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, you did. Who's done the TikToks this week?
Yeah, but I watched them before they went out.
No, you didn't.
Didn't I?
No. You don't even read Luke. This is another thing as well. Do you know what? I love Luke. I think he's great. He just drives me mad. You send him a message and you go, "What do you think of this?" Doesn't respond to it. Then comes back with a random message about something different. "I've just done my personal PB for the whatever." "No, okay, can you have a look at that, please?" It doesn't do it. So in the end, I just make a decision. I'll just upload it myself.
But that's good. It's empowering
you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But no, I do think that is all the news. We will be back in 2 weeks' time.
Where Matt will be making a public apology down that camera lens.
I don't personally think I will, but...
What if Lewis wins? If Lewis wins, you have to film the episode in a bikini.
All right, I make a deal with you. All right? Lewis Hamilton wins the US Grand Prix. I will do the next podcast in a mankini.
No, actually, because I don't want you sitting on my
side. I'll wear shorts. Your option's there. Do you want to take it or not?
So you'll buy a mankini?
No, you can buy it. You can buy it.
Well, how the hell does that benefit me? So I have to fork out cash to buy a mankini for you to sit your grubby ass on my sofa that I lay on? No, thank you.
Okay.
Sounds like a terrible deal. How about you get a buzz cut instead?
No.
Shave off your beard?
No.
Eyebrows?
No.
Right.
That went well, didn't it? We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Have a great week. And we shall see you soon. Bye-bye.